Well, it is the most important job you'll ever have. But there are no prerequisites you have to take. There's not an owner manual to tell you how to take care of it. And just when you think you got it figured out, well, God throws you a curveball. That's what parenthood is like. But if you trust in His divine plan and some sage advice from the experts, not only will you pass on your faith and rules to live by, well, your children, they're going to teach you a thing or two about yourself also. In his new book, Taught by 10, Dr. Ray Guarendi shares his wisdom with clarity and abundant humor because, as any mother or father knows, parenting is just too important to be taken too seriously. And today on The Morning Blend, the doctor is in. Good morning, Dr. Ray. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Brenda, there is one thing you do have to have to be a good parent.
Okay. I hope I have it. What is that?
Kids.
That is true. You do have to
have
kids. Without
that, it's really hard. Yeah, it's really hard. If you have no children, really hard to be a good parent.
Well, I suppose it's those that have no children that always seem to have the best advice to tell other people, well, how they should be doing it better. Dr. Ray, though, you are an expert because, well, you've got a big family. You know, you and your wife, Randy, you are raising or have raised 10. Was that the plan when you two started out, fresh face at the altar, 10 kids, that was going to be our number?
If somebody would have said to me, at that altar, you're going to have 10 kids, I would have said, you might be thinking about one of the groomsmen here. I don't know. Let me show you my license here. I think you got the wrong guy.
Well, Dr. Ray, I think many of us do think that we're young. Maybe we're, you know, in our 20s or we just out of college. We have the knowledge of all the world and we think, well, we do have it figured out. When for you did that idea change? Like, oh, we're going to be open to this. Because for me, too, as the mother of 4 children, I never had any intention of having that many.
I came home from Cleveland Clinic and the guy said, if you have children, get on the talk shows. It's a miracle. I have something called Sertoli only cell syndrome. It's a congenital problem. My grandmother was ecstatic that it was Italian. I threatened my mother. It was congenital, so I told my mom I was going to sue her, but then my attorney told me the statute of limitations probably had run out, so I gave her a warning. This better not happen again. So as we sit there and cried, we said, well, you think we can adopt? Sure would like to. Maybe one, maybe two at the most. We said, okay, let's see what we can do. Well, there's a secret, Brenda, that was really the case back when we adopted, and it still is somewhat the case. If we're willing to adopt a black baby boy, how long will we wait? She said, what are you doing tomorrow?
Whoa. That need, is that still something that is experiencing today that, well, we think that we're doing it better, but are we leaving behind children who need families?
I think it's not as easy across races as it was for a couple of reasons. One, aborted, killed in the womb, than are being placed for adoption. Adoption is now viewed as the least responsible thing you can do. So there's a lot less babies. Secondly, there are so many more parents who wish to adopt because they're waiting later in life. A lot of use of the pill, which prolongs the ability to conceive. So what happens is parents are willing to adopt any baby from any race, any age, any country. We stayed mostly domestic. It's kind of like eating potato chips, Brenda. You know, you always think you can eat one more until you throw up.
Oh, I've been there before. Well, Dr. Ray is joining us today. His new book is Taught by 10. So he's got a little bit of experience in that field. Dr. Ray, before the good deacon and I had children, I cannot remember what we ever laughed at. Our children crack us up, especially when they were little. They would do the funniest thing. And then I never imagined how much work would go into that. we can say or we can know and understand that, yeah, that's a responsibility. But until you get into it, you really start to understand what it takes. You decided that you're going to take it again and again and again. What was the support that you realized that I have it within me, if I trust in God's grace, that will allow me to have big families? Because to be honest, Dr. Ray, there's not many families anymore, especially even within our Catholic churches. They're not having children. What made you keep going back to that well?
Tax deductions. I figured if I could pay no taxes, I'd be doing fine. Actually, long about child number 6, my wife said, Ray, if not us, who?
Mm.
We have a solid marriage. We have the resources. We think we know what we're doing. So how can we say to the Lord, okay. No, we basically said, okay, let's see what God gives us. On child number 7, my wife was coming into the church. She was praying at the Sancta Clara Monastery, which is the monastery in Canton where Mother Angelica was the prioress. My wife said, Lord, if you want us to have another kid, you're going to have to drop it in our lap because I think we're done. The next day, we got a call from an attorney in Columbus who said, I have a little baby boy. He's in intensive care at university hospitals. I have no one to adopt him. Are you interested? And my wife had just said, Lord, you're going to have to drop it in our lap. So how are we going to say no now?
Sure.
Oh, that's what happened. Little Petey came along. He's now 25 years old. He loves the faith. So I think what I've learned most is this. Many parents get frustrated. You called it work. It is work in the sense that you sacrifice much of your own life to take care of those kids and raise those kids. The difference is the frustration. Many parents are so very frustrated because they really don't have discipline control. That is so, so common now. Kids are going to misbehave like crazy. They're kids. But the fact that so many parents don't have solid discipline control, they can't say, please go to the corner, and the child goes without an eruption, without a fit, without 27 times coming out of the corner. And that drives a parent crazy. And we had that kind of discipline control. We knew we had to have it. We had 10 kids under 12. So we had that discipline control. Somebody asked my wife once, what would you do if you told your children to go stand in the corner and they didn't? And my wife said, I don't know. And the person said, what do you mean you don't know? And she said, it's never happened.
Uh-huh.
Now, Brenda, how could that be? I mean, my children have had very, very bad histories. They've been drug abused, neglected. They were older, some of them, when we got them. They had histories that would make them very tough to raise. And I do have some like that. Why did we not have that authority issue? Because early on, the children learned very quickly, you got to mean what you say, and you're going to follow through. It's predictable, and they're not dumb. Once they realize that, they're going to misbehave. Our kids misbehave a lot, but they're not going to defy you. That's the difference. That was probably the biggest thing that allowed us to have 10 kids.
You'll learn some more of that great advice from Dr. Ray Guarendi in his new book, Taught by 10. It is out by EWTN, but you can also get it through Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Ray, I've enjoyed our conversation. There is more I want to talk to you about, but I am coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in the next half hour?
Well, it's going to cost you what the first one cost you.
Well, knowing that it didn't cost me anything, Dr. Ray, I'm going to hold you to that.
Thanks.
I am continuing now my conversation with the wise Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dr. Ray has a great new book out called Taught by 10. Well, that's because 10 beautiful souls were put in his direction to bring up. And boy, he's got a lot of great advice that he is offering in that new book. And he's with us today. Dr. Ray, thanks so much for staying with us.
Ah, my pleasure, Brenda.
Dr. Ray, the good deacon, and I, we were married 33 years ago. And while I feel like I had a fantastic upbringing, as many kids do, well, I thought I could just do it better because I knew so much more. But it seems like now, especially in this day and age with so many other influences, there's a lot of stuff that we're getting wrong. What is going wrong for parents today, and what are we doing a little bit better?
I would say that most parents are underestimating how powerful the pop culture is at shaping who their children are. One of the saddest things I encounter, Brenda, is a parent sitting in my office with a 16, 17-year-old, a 20-year-old, and the parent says, I don't know who that is. We didn't raise him that way. I believe you. I believe you also underestimated what did. They gave smartphones way too early. They were not vigilant enough on who this kid hung around with. They allowed so much of the culture into their home because they were afraid that their kid would be resentful. Kid would be sneaky. They were afraid that they wouldn't be understood. They were afraid that they'd be out of sync with the culture. So what they do is they go along with the culture way too much. And then some of the kids get misshaped. And that's explaining why so many kids are leaving the faith when they get into their late teens and early 20s. The majority of them are leaving the faith. So something has to be shaping them. And it is the culture that the parents are letting into the home way too early.
Dr. Ray, our oldest daughter has graduated and is actually married now and starting to get that early married life, you know, worked out for her own. But I remember when she went away to college and dropping her off and saying goodbye and, you know, driving away, really. And it felt like I was leaving her. And it was such a flash in time thinking like, that's it. 18 years, 20 years, is that all we get as parents? Well, as I'm coming to learn, that learning how to be a parent, that's a lifetime. What were some of the great things that you learned about yourself from being a parent when they were little and then being parent, well, of adults who might become parents or are parents?
One of the things I learned, Brenda, as they got older, is that unless there was a significant reason to go away to college, perhaps technical that they could only get out of state, perhaps maybe a large amount of support financially. But short of that, if they were going for a degree that could be achieved anywhere close to home, all of my children, except one, went to college nearby and lived at home during college.
Oh.
Because I did not want to pay a whole bunch of money for them to go to college and have a 60% chance of leaving their faith and getting loans they would have to pay off. It was a lose-lose proposition. So that's one of the big things I learned. When I was raising the kids, I thought, okay, well, they're going to go to college and choose their colleges. And I realized by the time they got there, that was not going to happen.
Dr. Ray, one of the things that I've also learned about my own children is, you know, you think that it's their minds are just these blank slates ready for me to fill them with all of the knowledge, the hope, the love, the dreams that I would love for them to have. What I wasn't expecting is how smart they already were. And they can pick up on a lot of cues. And when you think they're not listening, they are listening. And when you think you've got them figured out, well, they know how to be a little bit manipulative. Why is it so important that they never know right from the start that they can get between mom and dad to get what they want?
Every kid is wired differently. Every kid is different to raise. Some kids absorb your parenting and make you think you're God's gift to parenting. Some kids your parenting bounces off of. And you have to keep reapplying it to get it to take hold if it does. So what some kids are more prone to do is to get around the rules. And they're very good at it because they don't play by any rules. The rule is I want to get to where I want to get to, and mom and dad are in the way. So if I can figure out some way to get mom and dad to disagree with each other, I win. That doesn't mean they're deceptive little beings. It simply means they're kids, and they want to do what they want to do, and the parents are kind of in the way. We had a rule in our house that worked very, very well. The rule was this. The parent who sets the higher standard, the parent who does the discipline, rules. In other words, say, for example, I wouldn't send any of the children away from the table for burping the alphabet. Now, I think burping the alphabet with one breath is really a talent you got to have, especially if you're a boy. My wife does not like that. So I had to say no burping the alphabet at the table because that's what mom says. And if mom says it, I say it. Conversely, if I say I don't want them watching that, honey, and she says, oh, I don't think there's a problem with it, I rule. So the parent with the higher standard rules, you do not challenge the other parent.
Oh, I like that for sure. That is some of the great advice you're going to be getting from Dr. Ray Guarendi in his new book, Taught by 10. Well, here's the thing, though, Dr. Ray, and I feel like the good deacon and I, we have presented this united front. Now, our children, for the most part, have straight and narrow, but the world, and we talked about this earlier, technology, all of these influences, it feels like it's getting in the way of me being able to raise the kids the way I think is best. And that means things like asking a child's permission in order to do something in simple ways that, you know, we would not consider. Now I feel like, well, the good deacon and I, we might be united in our thinking inside our house, but we're losing control outside a little bit. And that's seeping in. How do you make sure that your boundaries and your rules follow them when they step out of your home, too?
If they're still in your home, but they're going out as they're getting older, you have to have a high level of supervision. There's no way around it. Some parents will say, I don't like who he's hanging around with. I say, well, why do you let him hang around with them? Well, that's his friend. Yeah, but why would you allow that if this friend is someone that's going to pull him in a bad direction? Well, I don't like where he goes after school. Well, wait a minute. Why are you allowing that? Well, that's where his buddies all go, and he goes, and he says he doesn't do anything. So in other words, we yield. First thing, supervision. You got to have better supervision. Now, you let the rope out very slowly. Our oldest son, as we raised him, we barely got a computer when he was 10 years old, so we didn't have to deal with that. Our youngest daughter, my gosh, smartphones were around, and all of her friends had one by age 10. She wasn't going to get one. Matter of fact, I think she was the only kid in her freshman class that didn't have one, and that's the way it was going to be. So in other words, that kind of supervision, you have to have great strength as a parent to stand against that. If you're trying to raise a God-seeking child, understand that you will be, in some levels, very much out of sync with the culture. You will very much be out of sync, perhaps, with your own parents who think you're too strict. You will be out of sync with many in your church. You have to have the strength to say, this is how I want to raise my child. I always said this, Brenda, I learned this. If my kids go astray, I want to be able to say, it's because they went through me, not because I stepped aside.
I like that. We always want to stand in the way because, well, that's that God placed these children. No matter how they got to you, well, God placed them there for you to stand, well, to bring them in that faith. I love that so much. That is more of what you're going to be able to learn in Dr. Ray's new book. It is out by Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Ray, it is always a good morning when you are on the show. In fact, in just a couple hours, we're going to listen to you right here on Mater Dei Radio. Thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us this morning.
Brenda, I'm getting a little sick of having to write books just to get to visit with you.
Oh, hey, anytime, Dr. Ray. We'd love to have you back in the area. Thanks so much.
I'll talk to you.
And again, that is Dr. Ray Guarendi. So the name of his new book is Taught by 10. It is out through Sophia Institute Press. I will be sure to add a link to where you can get Sophia, purchase a book for yourself. I'm also going to add a link to Dr. Ray's webpage. You're going to find all kinds of great resources, more sage, maybe a little humorous wisdom. You're going to find all of that on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.